We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get hour three started, shall we? Beltway Blitz time. We do it every day at noon. Jam-pack a lot of content on three DC sports teams into one segment. We'll start you off on the gridiron. Chris Russell's our Redskins insider, covers the league abroad as well. Slashy, your thoughts on the Giants blowing out Ben McAdoo and general manager Jerry Reese today?
Yeah, I mean, the only surprise is that it happened today, but we kind of knew from the Schefter-Mortensen report yesterday afternoon that this indeed was a possibility. My understanding, guys, is, you know, that the Mara family left it as Eli was going to play until Eli was really, really, really struggling and there was just absolutely nothing going right. And then they were going to bring in Geno Smith, and somehow, some way, that got twisted around between the filter from Jerry Reese on down to Ben McAdoo last week to have Eli start to preserve the streak, but to quickly yank him out, if not, you know, maybe last until halftime. And then when it completely blew up in the Giants' face and they took a terrible, terrible PR hit, the ownership group just snapped and just decided to end this bad boy. And, you know, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, we are no strangers to dysfunction around here. In some ways, it's nice to see it happen to another divisional team.
Russell, I know you're a guy that thinks no coach should ever be fired and every team should run the ball every time, otherwise they're committing malpractice. But no one on this program is advocating anything happening to Jay Gruden.
Right.
Let's say this, though. We're dealing with irrational people at the top. What would you want to see these last 4 weeks from the Washington Redskins to sort of feel solidified about Jay heading into the next year?
Well, what I want to see is competency. And I think that's we can argue about Jay's timeout usage, clock management, lack of philosophy of wanting to run the ball, having the ability to run the ball, all of that. We can talk about injuries until we turn blue in the faces, okay? But what you want to see, I think, if you're Dan Snyder, if you're Bruce Allen, if you're Eric Schaefer, if you're Doug Williams, just say those big four decision makers, is you want to see competency and you want to see cohesion as much as you can get, and you want to see effort. And you saw some of that, if not a large amount of that, at times on Thursday night against the Cowboys, but you didn't see anywhere close to enough that's required to win a football game on the road against a decent team. Now, the level of competition, I think, even goes up this Sunday, and I wouldn't expect much, but that's what you need to see in order for Jay Gruden to keep his job.
One of the things we're going to be asking and taking calls on in about 10 minutes from listeners is four games left.
Right.
What would need to happen for you to be impressed the rest of the way in terms of record? And what would need to happen for you to just be content the rest of the way in terms of their record? How would you answer those two things?
What I would be content with is if this team finds a way to win two out of the next four. What I guess I would be impressed by, I'm sorry, content with three out of the next four. What I would be impressed by is if they somehow, some way found a way to sweep the next four games. And really the only largely unwinnable game you would think is against the Chargers this week in Los Angeles. If they somehow found a way to win these four games, regardless of getting shut out of the playoffs, which I think we both all would agree that it's going to take a miracle at 9-7 for them to make the playoffs based on tiebreakers and everything that's gone wrong, I would be impressed by 9-7 considering everything that they have dealt with. Too little, too late, yeah, but I would be impressed by that. I need to see at minimum two out of the next four, and I really ideally think they should win probably three out of the next four.
Russell, thank you as always, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
fellas.
The time. See
appreciate
you, dude. You. Let's talk some puck, Tommy. Double J Reagan, NBA power forward James Johnson Reagan, telling us about the Washington Capitals. Double J, I can't figure him out. The against the Kings, all of a sudden it was over in a flash. Really good game, I thought, against Columbus with a couple, I don't want to say hiccups in there, but how do you predict what this team's going to do on a nightly basis?
You know, it's been hard over the first course of the season, but I think they played really well since they made those line changes. I think this team is definitely surging. The top six is anyway. They need some more depth scoring, But I think they're finally on a path where it looks like they've got something going and need to continue with that. They're still obviously unpredictable, but in an 82-game season, that's going to happen.
Sharks at the Caps tonight, Capital One Arena. They'll drop the puck at 7. Give us a preview.
Well, the Caps have had some trouble with the Sharks in recent years. In their last 25 meetings, the Caps have beaten them in regulation one time. We asked Barry Trotz about that this morning. He said every team in the league has a unicorn team, and for the Caps, it seems to be Dallas and San Jose. The Sharks have won 3 of their last 4. They have points in their last 7. They're a pretty good team, but they're a team that they're still getting good production from their older players, but they need to transition more to more production from their younger players. Tomas Hertl has only 14 points. He needs to be better. Logan Couture is leading the team with 21 points. He's very good. Brent Burns is having a down year after looking incredible last year. He has only 1 goal. And, of course, you have Mark-Edward Vlasic, who's one of the most underrated defensemen in the league, helping bolster a team that's very, very defensive. The Sharks are 29th in the league in goals for, but they are 2nd in goals against. So this could be a defensive matchup, but that's par for the course for what the Caps have been seeing lately.
Renowned singer Jerry Jeff Walker, Reagan, where do you stand on this Brooks Orpik debate? People get very angry when you mention Brooks Orpik, either one side or the other. The value and the intangibles and the leadership versus the fact that his advanced stats don't reflect too kindly on the very old defenseman. Where are you?
If you're watching this team and everything they went through with Matt Niskanen going down, I think the sense, especially among the press, is where would they be this year without Brooks Orpik? I understand that he's in an NHL that is getting faster. He's good for a turnover every game. There, you always can see those highlights of those gaffes that he sometimes makes. He is an incredibly important player to this team. They would have struggled much, much worse this season if they didn't have him when Matt Niskanen went down. So I know the numbers look bad, but I think he's still a pivotal part of this team's blue line.
JJ, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You can listen to Caps Hockey right here on 106.7 The Fan tonight. Let's talk some basketball. Ben Standick, Locked on the Wizards, is his podcast. The Wizards are also in action tonight. 9 o'clock tip at the Jazz out in Utah. What do we need to know about the game?
Well, obviously, it starts a 5-game road trip for the Wizards, who are coming off a really impressive win against the Pistons, but that was coming off not a good game against the Sixers, and on it goes. So we'll see if the Wizards can actually get on a good run here, and they're going to have to do it to start this trip against a Jazz team that seems to be finding its way. They've won 5 in a row, I think 4 of them by double figure. So it's going to be a tough start. You got to deal with Rudy Gobert, the defensive presence in the middle. But it's going to be up to the Wizards to stay focused for the full 48, not have these uneven halves like they've been having most of the last few weeks.
Yeah, balanced scoring. This Donovan Mitchell kid is a terrific rookie, the guy most impressive nobody's talking about in the NBA. Give me this Tomas Satoransky thing. Ben, what the hell is going on? If you told me a couple years ago that this would happen, that he would not only be in the NBA but be even mildly effective, even for stretches, I wouldn't have believed you. Yet, he was great the other night. Whatever it was, 17 points, the career high. He's not turning it over. He gives some energy. He is helping the Washington Wizards. I can't believe I just said that.
Well, I mean, I've been on the Satoransky train even before he showed up. I mean, obviously, a lot of it is just watching YouTube clips and the occasional overseas game. But I've always liked what he brings, particularly from the standpoint of the basketball IQ. He seems to have a really good feel for the game. The thing is, though, last year with the Wizards, Scott Brooks was often playing him out of position. He grew up a point guard, and Brooks was trying him elsewhere. And that was kind of been the case this year as well. You've got John Wall, you've got Tim Frazier, and whenever Satoransky would see some minutes in there, it often wasn't in that point guard spot. But without John Wall, he had to be the point guard for the second unit, and all the things that are good about him are just coming to fruition right now, including, just like you mentioned, a lot of energy. And the fact that he's been unbelievably efficient in the 4 games without Wall, 22 assists, 0 turnovers. That's not going to last. He will commit a turnover at some point. But I think the real intrigue here is he's showing me enough that I think when Wall comes back, he should be the guy who stays in the rotation and over Frazier, because he just gives you more potential and upside, and this second unit is thriving with him running it.
Is that a check mark for Ernie?
Yes.
Well, that's a good it's a good line there, if nothing else. But, I mean, you know,
no,
look,
it's a fair question.
It is, right, Ben?
Ernie's
it has
guy,
to be,
right?
No, you said the check mark. He's from Czechoslovakia. I was going with the Czech Republic.
Oh,
I didn't even
put that together.
I didn't even think of that.
No, look, I mean, you have to give Ernie some credit. I mean, look, obviously people will point to that he took Satoransky when he could have had Draymond Green, so depending on how you want to look at that. But, yeah, look, I mean, Satoransky is a guy that they drafted, they held on to, they've liked, that they were patient to bring him over, and now it's working out. If, like I said, if this four-game stretch turns into 10 games, turns into 20, then the Wizards bench suddenly is looking a lot more interesting with Satoransky and Oubre as two young guys who have a lot of potential off the bench.
Yeah, we're looking for check marks. Jay Crowder and Jordan Clarkson, say hello. Ben, thank you as always, buddy.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Be well. Always good on the Beltway Blitz. And that is three teams in one segment on Grant and Danny. Let's get into the final four games for the Redskins. How many wins would make you content? How many wins would impress you? Next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.